Chapter 12. Frosty Breath was good at giving clear directions. For the first half of the trip, Audun found himself flying over familiar territory. He saw the distant mountains where the witch's servants had imprisoned his family, and flew over the plains and forests that he had crossed while looking for Millie. Later that same day, he looked down to see a marshy area where a dragon-like beast called a Nucker was chasing an unfortunate deer. He circled for a minute, wondering if he should look for fish in the marsh, but continued on, his stomach growling from hunger. Just beyond the marsh lay a forest of scruffy pine which continued to the rocky shore of the sea. It wasn't as blue or as clear as the sea where he'd found Nastia Nautica, and he couldn't see as far into its depths, but he did see schools of fish from time to time. He had a full belly by the time he reached the island where the giant's boat was beached. The giant's ship was much bigger than the wreck that was the Sea Witch's home, with a mast at least 50 feet tall. It rested on a beach of silvery sand, with shallow ditches on either side. Two enormous boys were standing where the wavelets washed onto the beach, tossing rocks as large as Audun's head into the water. A woman was seated on the sand, with her head bent so that her long brown hair hung over her face. She was sobbing, and her shoulders shook with every breath she took. It was obvious that something was terribly wrong. Suddenly, Audun regretted taking the time to slide down the chute with Luli. The young dragon was trying to decide where to land when he noticed ripples of water arrowing toward the beach aimed directly at the woman. "Watch out!" Audun shouted. Thinking that a sea monster was about to attack her, he tucked his wings to his sides and plummeted to the sand, pulling up short in front of the giant woman. Audun turned his back to her and faced the water, preparing to fight. He had already tensed his muscles and spread his wings to make himself look bigger when the ripples faded away and another giant stood up, shedding a torrent of water. At least 25 feet tall, he was bigger than the woman and the boys.
"Who's this?"
boomed the giant, brushing his dripping hair out of his eyes and looking warily at Audun. Thick sheets of water sprayed across the beach, drenching Audun and making him stagger. Audun bowed his head and said, "King Stormclaw and his council sent me. I brought you this." Reaching into his flap, he took out the flute and laid it on the ground at the giant's feet.
"Oh," said the giant, giving Audun a half-hearted smile. "I was afraid he hadn't gotten my message. I'm not sure it will do any good now. It's been so long." "I didn't see anything," he told the woman seated behind Audun.
The woman's crying became so loud that each sob hurt Audun's ears. He moved away when the giant gestured for one of the boys to pick up the flute. Although the boys looked just like the giant, they weren't nearly as tall. Audun decided they must be his sons. Audun had to brace himself as the earth shook from the giant's footsteps, and it wasn't until they were all sitting down that he was able to say, "May I ask what happened?"
"Our daughter is gone," said the woman, dabbing at her tears. "The sea monster took her."
"Let me explain," said the man. "My name is Hugo, and this is my wife, Mona, and our boys, Clifton and Thomas. We'd been visiting the islands, seeing if we'd like to settle here, when we stopped to take on more fresh water and supplies. Mona and I were collecting seaweed with the boys just over there," he said, pointing down the beach, "when our little girl, Penelope, disappeared."
"She's only 3, wailed her mother.
"We think a sea monster took her. Shortly before she disappeared, we saw a hideous beast with a long whip-like tail jump out of the water as if it was trying to get a good look at us. We've been searching for her for days, but all we found are some prints in the sand." "Don't forget the picture," said Clifton, the taller of the two boys. Hugo sighed. "The boys found a picture made of seashells. They thought it looked like their sister."
"It did look just like her, Papa," said Tomas.
"It was so good an artist must have done it."
Hugo shrugged.
"I didn't see it myself. The waves had washed most of it away by the time I got there. If it was as good as the boys say, whoever made it must have seen Penelope. We thought they might want a ransom, but they never sent us a message of any sort. However, it wasn't the picture that interested me as much as the marks in the sand. They were just above the waterline. The waves hadn't reached them yet. It almost looked as if someone had pressed a cup over and over into the ground. The only thing we could think of was that a sea monster must have left the marks.
Which means that some horrible fiend had the sea monster carry her off, said Tomas. Those monsters aren't smart enough to do a picture that good.
We don't know anything for sure, said Hugo. Just that we think a sea monster was involved somehow. That's why I asked an eagle to carry a message to King Stormclaw. I'd heard of the sea serpent's flute and knew Stormclaw could get it if anyone could. I thought we could find out what happened to her if we could talk to the sea monster.
Clifton held up the flute, which looked like a child's tiny toy in his hands and would have been lost in his father's.
What happens if I blow into this?
The sea witch who I got it from said that it would torment sea monsters and make them leave, said Audun. Hugo looked puzzled.
I'd heard that it will calm sea monsters so you can talk to them.
That may be true, Audun replied. I wouldn't trust anything that sea witch says. She's a notorious liar.
Do you still think you should use it, Hugo?
His wife asked.
We wouldn't want to torment them and drive them off if they have Penelope with them. They might hurt her. If they haven't already, murmured Clifton.
His mother's chin wobbled, but she managed to say,
or abandon her, and then we'd never find her.
That's a good point, said Hugo.
Audun cleared his throat. Maybe I can help. I'm pretty good at tracking things, even underwater. If sea monsters took her, I should be able to find her. Can I see something of hers, as well as the place where you found the prince?
I'll get something that belongs to Penelope, said Mona, her eyes glistening with hope.
And we'll show you where we found the picture and the prince, exclaimed Tomas.
The ground shook so much as all the giants got to their feet that Audun couldn't stand. He was stumbling around when he finally spread his wings and rose into the air, although he didn't go very high. It looked like it was going to take Mona a few minutes to get something of Penelope's, so Audun followed the boys. When they crouched beside something on the sand, Audun landed and bent down to look. Clifton said that he had placed spindly pieces of driftwood around the marks on the beach, but there were only a few indentations, and the blowing sand had made them indistinct. Audun examined them for a moment, noting the acrid scent of whatever had made them. Then the boys showed him where the picture had been. Most of the shells had washed away. Tomas had stacked the rest in a pile just beyond the water's reach. Audun picked up one of the shells and sniffed it. The shell carried the same scent as the marks in the sand. He set it down when Mona arrived with Penelope's shoes, which the girl had taken off while playing on the beach. They, too, had a very distinct smell.
I think I'm ready now, said Audun. But first, tell me, can your daughter swim?
Like a fish, said Hugo, who had come with his wife. We made sure all three children could swim before we set sail.
Where did you spot the sea monster?
Hugo pointed out to sea.
Just past those rocks, there, where the waves are breaking.
Then that's where I'll begin, said Audun.
After assuring himself that the amulet was still around his neck, he told the family of giants that he would do his best to find Penelope and dove into the middle of a curling wave before it could crash over his head. Although he had hoped to find Penelope's scent, it was the smell from the beach that Audun detected first. It was stronger than any other scent he found, as if whatever had made it had just passed by. Audun followed the trail like a hound would a rabbit, with his nose quivering and all his attention focused on that one telling odor. The water was colder here than where Nastia Nautica lived, but Audun liked it better this way. The water farther south had been so warm that it had made him drowsy, but the cold water rushing against his scales as he sped beneath the waves now was invigorating. The fish weren't as brightly colored here, but there were more of them, and he would have been easily distracted if he hadn't been on such an important mission, or hadn't just eaten. The scent grew stronger as Audun swam, and he was convinced that he must be getting close. Suddenly, he glimpsed something nearly as big as himself, swimming just above the edge of a rocky outcropping. Drawn by the scent, Audun followed the creature, noting the long whip-like tail that propelled it through the water. The beast was easy to see against the browns and grays of its surroundings because its long, thin body was colored a contrasting orange and yellow. As Audun drew closer, he saw that rows of thin legs ending in suckers were tucked under the monster's body, and its eyes, when it turned to look at him, were enormous. The creature blinked as if in surprise at seeing a dragon and began to swim more rapidly. When it looked back a short time later and saw that Audun was still following, its tail became a blur and it sped away faster than Audun would have thought possible. Sure that he had found the sea monster that had taken Penelope, Audun raced after it. The creature twisted and turned, swimming around obstacles as it tried to lose the young dragon. When it sped through a school of fish so quickly they didn't have time to get out of the way, so did Audun. When he raced through a gap in the side of a shipwreck, so did Audun. They passed islands and a peninsula that jutted out into the sea without Audun losing sight of the monster. The water became deeper and colder. They circled the peak of a mostly submerged mountain, startling huge fish that flashed blue and silver as they changed direction. Every so often the sea monster would turn to see if Audun was still behind him, and each time the dragon was a little bit closer. Audun wasn't aware of how far they had traveled until they entered a trench that split the floor of the sea in two. He had heard about the Mary Alice Trench, named after two mermaids who had entered it on a bet and never returned, but he didn't know anyone who had actually gone there. Loathsome creatures supposedly inhabited its depths, which ran deeper than Audun had ever gone, but he followed the monster, not wanting to lose it. The water around them grew even darker as they traveled downward, and Audun began to feel pains in his chest and limbs. When the sea monster's swimming became more labored, the dragon was sure that the creature was feeling similar discomfort, but they continued to go deeper until Audun could scarcely see. Strange creatures swam past, illuminating their way with lights they carried on their bodies. Some had little lanterns dangling from their heads, while others had rows of glowing spots on their sides. A few darted away at Audun's approach, while one with ferocious teeth set in huge gaping jaws swam a little bit closer, but none were brave enough to come after a dragon. It was so dark now that Audun was following the sea monster by its scent alone, and then he encountered a strong mineral smell that nearly overwhelmed all the other odors. A few minutes later, he spotted the glow of a fire in the water ahead. Thinking he'd seen the sea monster pass in front of it, he swam toward the light, but it was so bright that it made him blind to everything beyond it. Enormous plumes of fire and gas were erupting from a hole in the sea floor, heating the water. Clusters of tall tubes sprouted from the ground around the hole, and Audun wondered what they might be. A slim, worm-like creature poked its head out of one of the tubes and eyed him. When he did nothing more threatening than look back at it, the worm said, "Hello," in a cheery voice. Instantly, 100 other worms popped out of 100 other tubes. "Who are you talking to?" some said. "Are you talking to me?" asked a dozen others. "Look, we have company," said the worms who had noticed Audun. "Are you a fish?" asked 3 or 4, while 20 wondered aloud what he could possibly be. "I'm Audun," replied the young dragon, who had been taught to always be polite. "I'm a dragon." "Ooh!" exclaimed nearly every worm. "A dragon!"
"What's a dragon?"
only one was bold enough to ask. "I'm sorry, I'd like to stay in chat, but I'm looking for someone. Have you seen a sea monster with a whip-like tail who passed by here just a moment ago? We were together, but I seem to have lost him."
"What's a sea monster?"
asked some.
"What's a whip?"
asked others.
"What's a tail?"
asked the smallest worm in the shortest tube. When the rest turned to look at him, snickering, he disappeared into his tube and refused to come back out.
"We saw something big go that way," said the first worm.
It jerked its head in a direction Audun never would have guessed.
"It wasn't nice like you. It didn't stop to say hello."
"They rarely do," said another worm.
"How true,"
said at least a dozen, sounding mournful.
"Thank you very much," said Audun. "You've been very helpful."
"You're welcome,"
said all the worms at once.
"Goodbye,"
Audun called as he turned to follow the sea monster.
"Goodbye,"
they all called back.
"Such a nice dragon,"
said one of the worms as Audun swam away.
"What's a dragon?"
asked a chorus of wormy voices. Audun swam into the darkness, hoping the worm had been right, but he didn't have to go far before he picked up the sea monster's scent again. Soon light began to relieve the gloom enough that he could see the walls of the trench on either side. A few minutes later, he spotted the sea monster in the distance. Audun had just left the trench when he saw bubbles form a channel of water rushing by faster than the sea around it. He watched as the sea monster hesitated, then plunged into the current and was swept away. Determined not to be left behind, Audun darted forward and dove in after the already disappearing beast. Although the current carried him forward at an amazing pace, it was carrying the sea monster just as quickly. Audun was exhausted, but he'd have to swim even faster if he wanted to catch up to the monster. It wasn't long, however, before the monster glanced behind him and saw the advancing dragon. With a swish of its tail, the beast slipped from the current. If Audun hadn't been watching closely, he would have been carried far past the monster, but he reacted quickly enough that he dropped out of the current only yards behind the monster. The sea monster looked tired now, too, and didn't go far before turning to face Audun. Gathering his strength, the young dragon closed on the beast, who met him with a slash of his tail. Audun bit the tail, and the monster turned to grapple with him, fastening its suckers onto the dragon's scales. The beast pulled and would have ripped some of the scales from Audun's body if the dragon hadn't bitten one of the monster's legs hard.
"Wait!" shouted the sea monster. "I have to know! Why are you chasing me? What have I ever done to you? I don't even know you."
"You took a little girl," growled Audun.
He was surprised to hear the sea monster laugh.
"Is that what this is about?"
the beast said, relieving the pressure on Audun's scales.
"Why didn't you say so in the first place?"
Audun shook the monster until its teeth clacked.
"This isn't a joke," he hissed.
"Of course it isn't," the monster hurried to say. "If you mean that giant hulking girl, we didn't take her. She followed my friend Bluger. We've been trying to send her home ever since."
"What do you mean by followed?" asked Audun.
"We were over by the island where the tastiest seaweed grows, resting after we'd eaten," said the monster. "Bluger was asleep in the shallow water when something grabbed one of the growths on his back and tried to pull it off. He swam away, of course, and it wasn't until he was almost home that he realized something was following him. He heard splashing and an awful wailing, and when he looked back, he saw an enormous child floundering in the water. Bluger couldn't just leave the child there to drown. Anyway, he called to me, and together we took the girl to our home, which was much closer than hers. That child weighs too much for either one of us to carry by ourselves, and it was a struggle for the two of us."
"And so you just kept her? You didn't even try to take her back? Do you know how worried her parents are about her?"
"We tried to tell them. I went back to the seaweed island and left a picture of her on the sand. I drew arrows, too, pointing the way to our home, but they never came. Bluger and I were beginning to think they didn't want her. I've been back there every day, hoping to lead them to her, but those people are always throwing stones, and I can't get close enough to talk to them. I was on my way home after stopping by there when you started chasing me."
"Take me to the child," said Audun, releasing his hold on the monster. "Perhaps I can carry her."
"You're welcome to try," said the sea monster. "My name is Squidge, by the way, and you are?"
"Audun," he replied. "I'm from the icy north."
"Well, Audun from the icy north, let's hope you're a lot stronger than Bluger and I. The sooner we get that girl back to her parents, the happier we'll be."
Audun wasn't sure how far he could trust Squidge, so he stayed close to the sea monster all the way to the entrance of a tree-shaded lagoon. The young dragon saw the giant's child right away. She was seated in the shallow water, playing with something that she held in her hands. Not wanting to frighten the girl, he climbed out of the water and walked toward her along the beach so she'd have plenty of time to see him coming.
"Penelope," he said as he got closer, "my name is Audun. I've come to take you to your parents."
The girl glanced up at him and smiled. It was obvious from the clean tracks on her cheeks where tears had washed away the dirt that she'd been crying, but she didn't look upset now.
"We go see Mama and Papa?"
she asked. "That's right," said Audun, relieved that she seemed to be unharmed. He walked closer, wondering where the other sea monster was, and aghast that they would leave a young child alone in the water. Then he saw she wasn't alone at all. What he'd thought was the sandy bottom of the lagoon was really an enormous oval of sand-colored flesh that rippled at the edges. Penelope was sitting on it, playing with a flower, although when he got closer, he realized that it wasn't a flower, but a fleshy growth sprouting from the monster's back. A veritable garden of the growths dotted the monster, but most of them were too short to reach above the water. "This is my friend Bluger, who I was telling you about," Squidge said, swimming to the shore where the dragon stood. Sticking his head under the water, the sea monster spoke to his friend. Although Audun couldn't see its eyes, he was sure that the beast was looking at him. When he told Squidge that he would take the girl back to her parents, he hadn't even thought about her size. She was almost as big as Audun. "So you'll tell her parents that it was all a mistake?" asked Squidge. "We didn't take her. She just sort of came to us." Audun nodded. "I'll tell them as soon as I get her there. But that might be a problem. I thought I could fly her back, but I'm not sure I'll be able to lift her. She looks awfully solid." Squidge sighed. "I was afraid of that. I suppose Bluger and I could help you. We might be able to get her all the way there if three of us carry her, although I don't know how."
"I have an idea," said Audun. "Are there any vines on this island?"
"I don't know," Squidge said. "I haven't gone past the beach, and Bluger never leaves the water."
"I'll go look," Audun said, already on his way to the trees.
He was back a few minutes later, laden with strong, thick vines. Squidge helped them make a sturdy net big enough to hold Penelope. They were able to convince her to sit in the net only after Squidge told her that she could keep one of Bluger's flowers, much to his friend's dismay. When everyone was ready, Bluger swam out of the lagoon with Penelope on his back, while Audun supported much of her weight from above and Squidge pushed from behind. Progress was slow as they crossed the sea between the islands, and they had to wait once for a whale to pass, but they eventually had the island in sight and could even see the mast of the giant's ship. Audun was already thinking about taking a quick leave of the giants when the first stone hit the water, narrowly missing Squidge.
"Penelope!" screamed the girl's mother from the shore.
"I'm coming, Audun!" bellowed Hugo as he waded into the water.
"Leave them alone, you miserable beast!"
It occurred to Audun that their little procession might not look quite right from the island. He doubted that the giants could see Bluger, so it probably appeared as if Audun was carrying Penelope in a net while another sea monster chased them.
"It's all right," he shouted, ducking as another stone flew over his head. "The sea monsters are helping me."
The barrage of rocks stopped as suddenly as it had started. While the giant family stood on the shore anxiously awaiting Penelope's arrival, Audun and the monsters labored to push, drag, and carry the now laughing child through the waves to the beach.
"Mama!"
she shouted. Pausing long enough to rip a flower from the monster's back, she hopped to her feet and scrambled onto the shore where her family waited with open arms. The sea monsters had no intention of sticking around, but Audun convinced them to wait long enough to tell the giants what had happened. Hugo and Mona listened, skeptical at first, but with growing belief when they saw their little girl's fascination with the flowers.
"And remember how she wandered off when we were cutting logs to build the boat? We found her in that meadow filled with wildflowers," Mona reminded her husband.
Hugo nodded and bent down to speak to the sea monsters. Keeping his voice soft out of consideration for the smaller creatures, he said,
"I don't know how to thank you. My family is everything to me."
"We're so sorry for ever thinking that you had carried her off," Mona told them. "Is there anything we can do to make it up to you?"
"Just don't throw stones the next time you see us," said Squidge. Although the giants promised never to throw anything at the sea monsters again, Squidge kept eyeing them warily, and he and Bluger left soon after. It wasn't until the monsters had gone that Hugo turned to Audun and said,
"Thank you for everything. You came so far and helped us so much. How can we ever thank you?"
"There's no need," said Audun. "I'm happy I could help. I came on behalf of King Stormclaw and his council, so you can thank them if you'd like."
"But all they wanted you to do is bring the flute, and you've done so much more. Tell me, where are you going next? Can we at least give you a ride in our ship?"
"Thank you, but it will be quicker if I fly," said Audun. "I'm returning to King's Isle. I'm helping the king so he'll agree to teach me how to become a human."
"Really? How very odd. Why would you want to do something like that?"
"Well, there's this human girl," Audun began.
"You're doing it for love. That's wonderful. Perhaps we can help," Mona exclaimed.
"Wait right here."
Audun had no idea what the giant woman had in mind, and he was even more confused when she returned with a barrel in her arms.
"Here," she said, setting it in front of Audun. "Take this with you. It's a lotion I make myself.
Giants have a very strong odor, but we don't like it any more than anyone else does. Slather some of this lotion all over yourself, and you'll no longer smell like a dragon. We've known a few dragons who can turn into humans. Even when they have a human body, they still smell like dragons unless they use this. You won't have to use it often. Once every few years should suffice."
"Thank you," said Audun. "I never would have thought of this. Are you sure you can spare the whole barrel?"
Hugo laughed, making the ground shake along with his stomach.
"That's one thing we'll never have in short supply."
"I can always make more if we run out, which shouldn't be for years," Mona said.
"Thank you again, Audun. We'll be forever in your debt."
Placing the barrel in the net he'd used to carry Penelope, Audun said farewell and rose into the air. Although he'd been working hard to do whatever the king and his council had asked of him, this was the first thing anyone had done to help him be like a real human. He wanted to stop running errands for everyone else and start on his own task. As soon as he got back to the island, he'd tell the king and his council that it was time he learned how to be a human.